Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, it is now or never. I can't say that enough. We're doing everything we can to make sure that the wheels don't fall off this nation. And we need your help. As I say all the time, and I can't emphasize this, I know yesterday I was talking a bit about creating a network. What we want to do is we know that there are small conservative pockets all across America. And many of these pockets, I'll just give you this breakdown. A lot of the radio stations are typically owned by at least, you know, one person owns at least one or two. Of course, at least one. I mean, a couple. As a matter of fact, it's pretty common. I know that in eastern Idaho, in the southern part by Idaho Falls, there's a person that owns a couple of them. And it's the same thing with Wyoming. There's the guy that owns and has founded the Second Amendment Foundation, SAF. His name's Alan Gottlieb. He owns five radio stations, small radio, or I should say small market type radio. It's not like, you know, the big ones, but there is a commonality. You'll find that there's all of these little small networks out there of radio broadcasting, and you'll find them in your flyover states. So the question is, you know, can you do the research and can you actually sell Reclaiming the Republic so that it airs in your radio, in your town, and so forth? Because what we want to do, I want to start pushing forward in creating the Reclaiming the Republic network. And as I stated yesterday, we're looking at starting off with an 80%. Now, what we want to do, because we understand that, let's just say we're successful and we penetrate into eight markets, eight. So what that means is we have, you know, a couple of stations here, a couple of stations there. So out of eight markets, let's say that's maybe 20 broadcasting stations that are broadcasting and reclaiming this one-hour show, Reclaiming the Republic. Now, the eight people that are doing this, they're income off of this is going to be based on that little bit of portion of those 20 shows or those 20 broadcasting stations. They're not all getting that. And I recognize that. So, I mean, there's a reason why talent makes so much money. It's because they're greedy. And there's a reason why if you want to be successful, you put money, you don't put money first. And as a matter of fact, more importantly, what we want to do is we want to transition, because I don't want to be even dependent on this money. If you understand the problems with, you know, anybody, let me slow down here. In being a hiring manager and watching for years from the Marine Corps and my leadership in the Marine Corps and then my leadership and in government contracting, one of the things I realize is when kids come, you know, get a job and they start making good money, the first thing they do is they start spending money based on how much money they make. In other words, they make this huge lifestyle adjustment. This is probably why it's really, really, really important to talk to Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching so that you don't make that mistake. As a matter of fact, I've actually witnessed many times where all of a sudden my group of employees, actually the guys that I worked for, because as a manager or leader, I actually worked for them. I tried to make sure that they didn't have the problems and the obstacles so that they could get their job done. So anyway, one of the things I noticed is that when all of a sudden they had to work a lot of overtime and their income, and we were turned onto this program where, you know, we had a lot of overtime, a lot of overtime. We went years with overtime. And I kept on telling them, do not treat this overtime as your regular salary, as your regular income. And I said, some of you are going to do is you're going to start spending and you're going to actually have all of these things, whether it be services, car payments, and all of these obligations, all of these financial obligations, because you have room for it right now. And what'll happen is when the overtime goes away, all of a sudden you don't have the room for it anymore, and it really forces you to go either hand to mouth, or it causes a bunch of problems. And 9 times out of 10, the average person, what they end up doing is they start using credit to try to maintain that lifestyle. And that ends up crashing down upon them because they can't. You can't do that. So what we want to do, and this is getting back to, you know, understanding what we need to do, this cadre, this group of people, those people who become independent agents for reclaiming the Republic, you're going to have an opportunity to actually make some upfront money. The intent, though, is not necessarily to make this a lifetime, because no way in God's green earth is there ever going to be a standard where agents make 80%. But what we want to do is we want to help you so that you're incentivized in doing this. And actually, those of you who actually down the road want to start doing a local leadership show. In other words, you got to do more than just this radio show. You're going to have to probably start working on educating people in creating what we call these unorganized militias and moving and leading your local community into getting organized. If you're doing both, this creates a great opportunity for you to actually start a local radio show on one of those radio stations in your county. Do you understand what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, how relevant is that when you're actually talking about what the heck is going on locally, what you're doing, the new committees that you're standing up, and as you start getting more and more people, teaching people about First Amendment petitions, getting the conversation moving about common law courts. Do you understand? This gives you an opportunity to be integral in helping your county become constitutional. Now, if your aspirations is just to become a public servant so you can get rich, I'm going to tell you, almost every time I've seen this, what ends up happening is the people that they aligned with, the people that actually helped them, actually become, hostile. Because they recognized what this person has done. And this happened during the Tea Party. I saw supposedly these really conservative women and men who used the Tea Party to launch into politics. And next thing you know, it's like they sold their soul and they became liberal. And many of them had a hard time maintaining their position, or they, kind of hope to constantly buy off their constituents. What's really, really important is that if you're actually on the high road, if you're actually standing on the top of the mountain of truth, then you will not be deterred. And it's not that getting into politics is a bad thing, but you actually have to be determined to stay on that mountain of truth. Because if you're on the mountain of truth, then you can't be knocked off. The opponents can't overcome you, because all they have is lies, deception. Does this make sense? When you start taking the position on the high road because you're standing on the truth, all of a sudden you're exposing them, and they have to run, and they have to figure out another way to come at you. And 9 times out of 10, the way they do that is they start attacking you personally. They try to set you up. They try to blackmail you. They try or coerce you or find your weakness. That is how government works. That's why when you look at the swamps, whether that be in your state or at D.C., the first thing that happens, because most people that are in government, in a central government like it's your state government or the D.C. area, you don't necessarily live there. There's only a few really, really lucky people, and those people usually kind of have to keep their nose clean because they're going home every night. But those guys and gals that are geographic bachelors and bachelorettes, their life's a little bit different. And all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of like going to Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Don't even believe that. What ends up happening in whatever city you're in and whatever role you're playing in government, whatever is happening is being recorded, and you would be surprised the photographs that will come out on you when you have finally taken a position, because they've already got you compromised. And when you take a position that would go against them, remember why so many people walked away in Trump's first midterm during his presidency. That midterm, it was just like 40 some odd Republicans stepped down. Well, why do you think that was? It wasn't because they were just abandoning ship. They're standing at the trough of power where they're getting rich. They realized that they had to move on. Everybody that moved on, now, I'm not judging, but I would just say there's a high likelihood that everybody that moved on, Jason Chaffetz and all of these other people, there's a good likelihood that they were all compromised and they felt that, okay, I don't want that to come out. I don't care. I will just step down and I will find something else to do. And so that's what ends up happening. If you think you want to start playing in politics, and you don't have to play in politics to be a leader. I'll give you more examples of that when we come back. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so you don't have to get into politics, or you don't have to dive into a level. As a matter of fact, a lot of people ask me, why don't you run for office? Why don't you become a governor? If you understand what I'm doing, really the only position in leadership would be the President of the United States. But I recognize that the President of the United States does not possess the power to actually do the things that need to be done, which is good. It's good that we have that limitation. The fact of the matter is, if I step into politics, then my ability to influence and lead for the right purposes goes away. because now I'm strapped. Now I'm tied to constituents that I have to serve because I understand public service is just that, public service. And it's a very specific public service. I see myself as a public servant still, but I'm serving the public in trying to get all of the different sheep herded, or at least understanding first the importance of the Constitution, understanding how to start acting, how to start looking at the Constitution, helping redefine these things. So if you look at what I'm doing, as a public servant, I couldn't do this. If you look at what needs to be done, as a public servant, this would never get done. Now, I've said this before. The Lord has really blessed me. And I in all humility, I don't feel worthy of the many blessings that I've had and that I'm receiving. But the fact is, we cannot deny His hand in what we're doing and what we have to do. And if we allow Him, He will continue to bestow blessings upon you and I. What we have to do is we have to act upon those things that we're moved upon to do. Now, if we want to actually see this country saved, and we want to see the third great awakening and see this nation become a moral nation, just imagine pornography no longer being available, not because they're blocking it, because the market dries up. A lot of people don't know this, but I'm going to share something with you. When you look at some critical consumer decisions over the past few decades, pornography drove some of these. Do you remember VHS and Beta? Beta tape was a smaller, better performing, better quality tape to VHS. However, and there was this huge war, which way were we going to settle? What were we going to settle on? What was going to be the standard? It was settled by the pornography industry. They chose VHS, and everybody just caved to that. To the industry. Not a lot of people didn't even know, and there's a lot of people that weren't even involved, but there was enough people that were involved in consuming and or consumers or users of pornography to where they actually drove that decision. It's the same thing today with the internet. The only reason why these types of things exist, as a matter of fact, a really powerful statement from Aaron Tilbury, who runs the Jonah Project. He really got involved in saving lives, and he wanted to make a real difference in saving the lives of kids who were trapped in the sex slave trade. He basically stated that the only way we're ever going to get rid of sex slavery, prostitution, and this abominable practice is by actually getting the desires or realigning, having a great awakening, and making a moral nation again. He says, as long as there are people that seek those desires, and that means there's a market out there. That means that people are going to be seeking that type of thing. So just imagine. It's almost like, we all know, and I don't know if you smoke or if you drink coffee or what have you. We all know that there are certain things in our lives, especially habits like that, that destroy us. At this point in time, I believe there's a lot of people that would probably quit smoking. They would probably quit drinking. They would probably, if not, they would be a dying breed. And what I mean by that is if we changed the paradigm in America to where if you get cancer, if you have a health adversity from your behavior, then the insurance company doesn't have to pay for it. In other words, if you're doing something that harms yourself, why would the other people in the insurance you know, not just the business, but the customers. I, as a customer in the specific insurance that you share with I, why should I have to underwrite the dangerous behavior that is going to cause you to actually require, you know, lung surgery and or these problems that you're causing to yourself? In the military, that used to be called malingering, where you would actually deliberately do something to hurt yourself, and, you know, so that you would be on light duty, so you wouldn't have to work, so you wouldn't have to go to war, what have you. And so they actually have words for these types of things, and none of them are good. Well, the point is that imagine a society that we can actually start getting rid of these things because people choose to do what's best. They choose to do what's best for their children. They choose to do what's best for their society. They choose to do what's best for their community, and so forth and so on. Maybe not in that order. But the fact is, we have to start making these decisions. And we have to start making decisions that will actually help your home, your neighborhood, your community, your county. And getting First Amendment petitions. So we actually have these petitions. I'm trying to get some movement on these. And actually, I had a conversation with Bob. Bob is going to be letting me know as soon as he has a scheduled date for his upcoming seminar. We want to get you involved and engaged in this, because what we want to do, and I don't know how Bob's going to handle this, but I truly believe that the power has to be in the people. Now, what happens when you create an organization, and I'm not saying Bob has done this, but when you create an organization, and a good example is Bob's organization, a lot of times you try to elevate the relevance of your organization by being the center of all of that that happens. There is no way in heck that Bob and his organization could be the center of all petitions. If he created an army, and when I mean an army, there are over 7,500 state legislators. We know that there's less than 5,000 counties in America. And so when we start looking at, you know, let's just say 5,000 counties, it's 4,000 something. When we look at 5,000 counties and we have petition teams in all 5,000, how in the heck is Bob's organization going to be able to manage that without some serious resources and actually stay on top of all of it? In other words, this is raw political energy that you don't want to hold back. You have to unleash this so that the people can actually start holding their public servants and they can start holding their government accountable. Once you unleash this power, let it go, baby. Let it start ripping through and getting rid of everybody that is refusing to actually live up to their oath of office and start getting rid of them. Here's the interesting thing. I actually shared Section 3 of the 14th Amendment with Robert Wharf, who is a legislator. He's in his first session, or actually not. Yeah, this is the first session because a session is 2 years. So he's a first termer. He wasn't really aware of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And he goes, wow, that's pretty awesome. And I said, yeah, you want to put the scare in people? Start telling them that they are now in the position where they are disqualifying themselves from being a public servant and in risk and in jeopardy of being able to be removed. Maybe the people can't do it now, but as people start learning and understanding and wanting the power, this is why I really emphasize this. We need to start demanding that we, the people, have the power to initiate the removal of our public servants. We need to be able to have full transparency to ensure that when somebody has failed to support the Constitution. I look at it this way, and as I've read through the debates in the Congressional Globe, in Congress, at the time of the 14th Amendment, I look at it this way. I look at this whole concept of moral perjury, that these warriors of liberty, their responsibility is to support that Constitution, not to step on it, not to make any compromises. They have no authority in the Constitution to compromise anything, as we've talked about this before. And so I would love to actually see the faces on state legislators when they start realizing the position that they're in and how quickly they could be removed if we had this power. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. So I haven't even covered the obligatories. You do realize that. And so there is some news that we have. The bill has dropped. The bill in Wyoming has dropped. And actually, let me give you that because I wanted to lead with that. But what I want to do is I want to let you know, I don't want to talk like I'm bragging, because what I want to do is I want to show you how you can do this, how you can get involved in supporting Republic Review, supporting full constitutional compliance, because that's the message, that's the mantra, compliance. Say it after me, compliance. There you go. It is that simple. They must comply. They take a legal oath to comply, to support the Constitution, not to change, not to alter, without following the processes within it. There are very specific processes. So here is the bill in Wyoming that dropped. This is the one we wrote, HB 0132. So just so you understand, we didn't write the very front end. What ended up happening was Representative Wharf, who's the sponsor of the bill, he had to figure out how to get this into, and so what he wanted to do was he actually wanted to change the committees because the swamp in Wyoming is playing games, and they have these controls, and they've apparently, there's two types of committees and so forth, and I don't want to get into all of the politics. I'll let him do that. Maybe after this session, we'll have him on. But the fact is, that he kept on running into this nonsense. Oh, well, you can't do that. You have to do this. And you can't do it that way. You have to do it this way. And each way he knew that the way they were pointing to was going to actually get his bill onto the floor to actually get a vote. What we want. We realize that this bill will probably fail because there are way too many rhinos in the Wyoming state legislature, and just like every other state. We have this problem. This is why we need you to get involved. We need you to become a state legislator. But what we want you to do is we want you to do it from the top of the mountain. You have to do this in demanding compliance. You have to be the compliant guy. You have to be the Boy Scout, the Girl Scout. You have to be that person with that moral code that says, no, that's not how it's done. This is how it's supposed to be done. We are a Republican form of government, which means that we're representative as well as based upon the fundamental laws, which are inalterable, except in one very specific process, which is the Article 5 process. So, as we go through this bill, because what this means is yours truly is going to read the argument. I probably won't have time this week. So what I'm going to do is we'll start, like I told you, on Monday, maybe, or Tuesday. Next week, we'll actually have the reading of the argument. This is a compendious summation of why we have to demand this full compliance of the Constitution from all of our public servants at the state level and upon the federal government, forcing the federal government into compliance because they will not comply without force. And we don't have to use armed forces. We have all the legal forces necessary right there within the Constitution, and Section 3 being the most powerful. I mean, it is the eliminator of bad public servants. Boom, you're gone. You're not only gone, but you can never be a public servant again. So, anyway, let me get through some of the obligatories, and then what I'll probably do is I'll probably read this, but I've already touched on a few things. One of the things I talked about is hopefully getting you engaged and involved. If you're interested in your area, then what I would recommend is, because there may be a couple of people in your particular area, in your state, that says, hey, I'd like to do this. I'm okay. I mean, I don't have a preference. I just want to make sure that, if you can create a team, that's okay. Because you'd probably be more successful with a team and team sharing, so that you may want to actually create the at a state level, if you're all within a state, you may want to create an organizational team like a co-op or a small agreement where, the money comes in and is kind of shared based on if you can figure out how to do it by, contributions or equal shares, what have you. I don't necessarily want to get into the business of how you do that because bottom line, the contracts that you're going to be getting, you won't have. Those contracts will be coming to me. And so that way we will be able to, because the contract you'll get from me is based upon, my getting the contract, you'll have a contract where I will pay you that 80% profits or what have you, whatever we work out, because it's always a case by case, but believe it or not, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that you get as the most of the profits we can possibly give you to help you get started. What we're hoping is within the year or two that we'll actually have enough success to where when things start trimming down, where we're actually taking that money and porting it into these counties, into these states, because that's the whole point of these profits, by the way. The whole point of these profits is to actually start creating the infrastructure and start supporting these unorganized militias in doing what they need to do. Because right now, if these unorganized militias went to the state and went to the county and said, we need funding, they'd say, go pack sand. Well, we know that they need to get some funding. We know they'll need some domain presence. We've already kind of talked about some of the basics of. So what we want to do is make sure that we help you become successful. Because your success is our success. And when I see our success, I'm talking about this republic. I'm talking about everybody in America. If you start succeeding in the red states, you will save the blue states. I can't tell you how many times this has gone all the way back to when I started back in 2013, that the only hope that the blue states have are the red states. The blue states are gone. I keep telling people, you're spending money, good money, after bad crap. You'll never turn that state around. Now, you can turn that state around when you actually have influences from the red states. Now you actually have support. Now you actually have some standards. You don't have just a bunch of people with Republican names or conservative, you know, lingo, but everything that they do is progressive. So the fact of the matter is that if you want to be successful, then, and you're in a blue state, then you really need to rely upon the red states to save you. However, in a blue state, you have plenty of red counties. You can get started. You can get started with this effort in getting counties created and counties organized. But I'm going to tell you, your prayer and hope has to be based on getting and engaging these red states, helping them swing these next elections. This coming election, you really want to contribute to an election that's going to be important and actually pivotal in the direction of this nation. You need to actually start supporting the constitutional, no-compromise people in these red states to get into office that are challenging these big-name, long-term rhino sellouts, these guys that are deliberately throwing their state and this constitution under the bus. So if you really want to help, and I tell you all the time, we need to help. And one of the things that you can do with this money that we're bringing in for you is you can actually use that to help these, you help support these politicians. Now it's not necessarily saving a little bit of gas like I've asked before. Oh, we'll just, you know, the money that you would spend on one gallon of gas every week, just put that money aside, drive a little bit less, and use that money to contribute to these campaigns. I am telling you that a $20 contribution from 100 people is a huge contribution, especially in these red, dark red states, where they barely spend maybe $2,000-$3,000 on a average house race. Go look at the money trail in these, you know, like the Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana. Most of these campaigns for state legislature are that cheap. It's just because, and as a matter of fact, again, there are states that actually have empty seats. How expensive do you think it is to get into that race? Nothing. I mean, you got the filing fee and everything else, but if there's not even an opponent and your name's on the ballot, you're going to win. It's that easy. You don't even have to spend a penny. We need you. We need people of character. We need people of quality. We need people to actually take a stand and actually be no compromise, no nonsense. Be right out there and be bold about what you're doing. We're here for you, and we want to see you succeed because, like I said, when you succeed, we succeed. So, with that, let me kind of rip through the rest of these things because I was going to do that and I forgot to do it. Anyway, Fortitude Financial Coaching, as you know, go to Gary Smith if you're looking for help in getting disciplined. ConstitutionalEducation.us if you're looking to get some content that we haven't produced already regarding the Constitution. Don't go to Hillsdale College. Don't go to these other compromise constitutional education clubs. Because bottom line, they're not going to teach you what you really need to know. They won't support Republic Review. They won't support state rights. They won't support the things that are actually really important that you need to understand. So TimberNation.com, RadioDustCovers.com, and AdLocal.com. When we come back in our last segment, we'll kind of read the bill for you.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic. I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so actually, let me also say this, because I forgot this too. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, one of the things I was trying to say, and I don't want to brag, and I don't like bragging, but I want to show you how just a little bit of persistence can actually get you to where, look at what I've done. Now, I wrote a book. I got really smart on the Constitution, and I started being able to become really decent in articulating. Not the best. I'm not the best. I'm not even entertaining. But I've been able to actually sit down and hold my own with professors and actually challenge professors and put them on their heels. I was in that position in 2018, 2017, 2016, because 2016 is when I had those interviews with Dr. Weil. Now, I started continuing and learning and, you know, re-examining. I've read lots of things several times. So I got smart on that, and that was actually, it took a lot of time to do that. You don't necessarily need to spend the same amount of time. If you want to have the profound knowledge you do, you have to actually fill the sandbags if you're trying to build a wall of sandbags. If you want to create a levee or a protection against flooding water, you have to fill the sandbags. And so you have to get smart on something. Now, you don't necessarily need to be completely smart and have all the sandbags filled. But you have to have faith, and you have to actually, you know, quit overanalyzing and look at the arguments and basically understand the fundamental principles like contract law. Once you start understanding and really looking at both the ratification debates, the Constitution, and looking at it in the perspective with Republic Review, it becomes really, really simple and irrefutable. Even without having to spend all the time I've spent in doing it. So what ended up happening is that, okay, I did that. I had a radio show. I was able to fund and have been funding all of these things I've been doing. So that wasn't good enough. I wasn't getting where I needed to be, so I started making phone calls. You know, it's kind of like that vulture flying around that says, you know what, I can't find anything. I'm going to have to go kill something so I can eat. So I started making phone calls, and I wasn't trying to kill people. What I was trying to do was I was trying to actually, you know, try to create alliances and try to help people understand that there is another way. There is a way that for some reason nobody cares about, nobody, because they don't want to know the solutions. That is the reality that I faced on a regular basis. Every time I reached out, I don't care about the solution, kid. I care about making money. Okay. So I kept pushing forward. When I got to it's because Idaho was a dead end. Utah was a dead end. When I reached out to many of these other states, the state that was very open and gracious was Wyoming. South Dakota has been gracious. We've had others, Montana. But the most gracious, and like I said, it was because of the Wyoming GOP and the leadership within the GOP that I was absolutely blown away. And it all happened just because I was willing to do some research and make some phone calls. And so getting people to actually hear and listen so that we could get this started, now we kind of have a footstool or a footing for, you know, for assured standing, so that we have, you know, our, you know, feet well planted on a good footing, so that we, you know, can suffer the winds and the, you know, slings and arrows, what have you, right? And so as I started moving and creating, you know, other alliances and doing other things, I kept on reaching out to conservative organizations. In other words, I was able to connect with the We the People Foundation, the National Liberty Alliance, Constitutional Alliance. There's a lot of groups. The Constitution Association, Edward Griffin with Red Pill University and his Red Pill Expo, and so forth and so on and so on. And started really making really solid alliances and friendships with a lot of great people. I'm very rich when it comes to the people and the quality of friends that I have. And that's one of the many blessings the Lord has given me. But I'm just trying to prove to you that when you really put it down to it, because I was just interviewed by a newspaper in Wyoming, and I tried to give this person, this interviewer, the perspective that, you know, let's look at what I did. Just in Wyoming alone, I started making phone calls in 2018 during the election for governor, and I injected myself in that and actually started helping a constitutionalist in that election for governor. What ended up happening was that the horse I backed, come to find out, his house was like 20 feet across the border into Colorado. And so this whole question, it just took all of his momentum, and because there was a good chance he was going to win. And it just, you know, killed him. It took all of his support away because, are you kidding me? He's not even a Wyomingite? Anyway, got involved, though, and actually made real strong alliances with leadership within the Wyoming GOP. All of these people loving the Constitution want to support this. So next thing you know, in November of 2018, I get an opportunity and invited to come out and speak. And I spoke on Sunday afternoon. That video is out there. I was going to actually do a presentation, but as I sat there and listened to everything that they were saying, their hearts were already in the right spot. I didn't need to convince them. I didn't need to sell them on anything. I just made a plea to him. I said, you're already where you need to be. All you need to do is realize that, you know, in this direction, you can actually solve these problems. And from that point on, we created it, literally from that meeting, they created a committee. Literally within 6 months of that committee, in the next Central Committee meeting, which was in May of 2019, I was invited to go out there and participate in that, where we actually had resolutions that were unanimously passed calling for republic review. So folks, you see what a little persistence can do. And being blessed with the latitude and enough finances to be able to at least move yourself, get somewhere and do something – so that you could do that. It's not like we're not rich. We're not rich at all. But I've had everything that I've needed to get this done. The Lord has given me, and in so many ways, anybody that knows me, I'm not the most patient man in the world. And so I, you know, constantly, oh, come on, we need more. I need to be able to get more done. But the Lord has basically, you know, incrementally fed me. I mean, as I look at it in 2020, the following year, I was speaking to the Constitution Party, actually reaching out to a nationwide apparatus that had an opportunity to get to the top of the mountain. Many of those people, I believe, are seeing this, and they're struggling to get up there. Also reached out to the Independent American Party. Now we've got maybe some competition of scaling the mountain to get to the top. It's all about just being persistent and not just sitting on the laurels of what you've done already. You have to keep on seeking to do a little bit more. One of the things that I've realized is that if you're never happy with what you've done and you want to do more, then you will be successful. It's just about persistence. Literally, it is that simple. Success can be that simplified to that level. All you have to do is just continually be persistent. One of the things, I read an article, and you've probably seen this, where they have found that the most productive point in a person's life is in their 60s and 70s. Because at this point, they've already kind of honed themselves to, you know, they've already got their career, they've already, you know, become pretty successful or a subject matter expert in something. You know, you're already established. And now you're not encumbered by kids and a young family and all these other things. So those of you who have a young family, those of you who are in these positions, just think of how more effective you'll be if you right now you're taking the time to read, taking the time to learn, and those types of essential things that will help you. So what we want to do is we want to get into the bill. And so I have the bill here. And actually, as I look over my shoulder, I have less than a minute left, so I'm not going to read this, but I'm going to tell you the bill again. The bill number is House Bill HB 0132, and the name of the bill is a statutory standing committees include federal review. So what they're doing is they're moving all of these committees into a statutory permanent committee and creating a new committee called federal review. It's kind of interesting. And when we read through this, I will highlight, you know, what they had to do or what Representative Worf had to do. And then we will highlight the part that, you know, the committee and I kind of worked on, and we kind of hashed through in this bill. So, look at where we are now. In 4 years, we've got legislation actually being considered. Now, I expect it to fail. But who knows? The Lord may actually bless us, folks. We need your help. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.